you. Thank you. The first one was in 1998 in Saskatchewan, in Saskatoon. So, yay! Peter Scott had me come up and keynote that conference, so that was the first of many Access conferences, although I can't say that I've made every one, to my everlasting regret. And I also want to point out that it took me 5 years of coming up to conferences in Canada for me to get that honorary Canadian award, so that tells you how difficult it is to achieve that status and how much I appreciate it. And I'm hoping that my behavior will allow that to remain something that I have. Before I get started, I just want to point out, where I work, the headquarters here, OCLC. Oh, my God. You weren't supposed to see that. Oh, phew. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Just wipe that from your memories, okay? This is our lovely headquarters in Dublin, Ohio, which, as you might imagine, I get many opportunities to visit from my home in California. But that's not why I'm here to talk to you today. I'm really talking to you today about what we're calling WorldCat Grid Services and what you can do with them in your library applications. And so first I'm going to say tell you what they're about and then go into some particulars. First of all, it's a pretentious name for something that's pretty darn simple, and that is APIs, application programming interfaces, really just a structured way for one software program to share data and services with another software program. So not for human consumption, except for those that have strong stomachs. It's really for applications. So I'm going to talk about a few different services, and I'm going to demonstrate some of these for you. And later on, since I will be trying to do some specific demonstrations that I hope to God come out okay, I will be having to give a sacrifice to the demo gods. So if there's any virgins out there, will you raise your hand, please? No? I kind of figured. Oh, well, one here. Okay. Good. You'll be my sacrifice before we do the demos. Just to run through these services briefly, and then we'll go into some more detail in some of them. We've got a set of identifier services, which have been out there the longest, and a lot of you in the audience are probably familiar with XISBN, which I'll touch on in detail a little bit later. We've recently added some other services, such as XISSN, XOCLCNUM, and some others we put under the umbrella that we call XID, which covers kind of all of those different identifier services. We also have registry services. Again, I'll go into more detail there, but the primary one that we have is the what we call the institution registry, and you'll see that in a few moments. Then we've got kind of this umbrella that we're calling kind of experimental services that we want to put some things out there, some of the things coming out of the Office of Research, our research scientists doing some very interesting things that we don't know whether they'll actually go into production service or not. We kind of just want to toss them out there, see what people think of them, see what they can do with them, and then get some feedback on whether we should take them to production or not. So an example of that we'll take a look at is terminology services. And there's be some others coming along later in the year as well, such as a metadata crosswalk and some other things. And then kind of the flagship right now of the WorldCat Grid Services is the WorldCat Search API, which we just released in August after a beta period of release to select developers from January to August to play with it, pound on it, give us some feedback. We made a number of changes during that period, then opened it up for our member institutions August 10th, and now we've got upwards of 80 institutions signed up to use it. And we'll take a deeper look at that. But before I continue on in this theme, I want to just put in a little plug for this page here on my TechEssence site. And it's hard to see, but basically what I'm trying to do here is collect pointers to and brief information about library-related APIs or APIs of interest to library developers. So I've got Amazon API, Library Thing has a number of APIs, some other kinds of things that libraries are using, as well as all of the OCLC APIs and a number of other things. So my plug here is that I want you to let me know if you know of an API that you use a lot in your library, or you have your own that you think would be interesting to other developers, let me know so I can put it on this list. Because I looked around, I couldn't find any single list of library APIs. And we need one because we're doing lots of unconferences and hackfests and things like that, and it's really handy just having one list. So a little plug there and let me know. First of all, why WorldCat Grid Services? Well, we wanted to be able to expose our data and services both internally and externally so that we can all become more efficient and effective. So what this means is, and I love, who was it? Was it Karen? Someone was mentioning eating your own dog food. I think it was Karen. Was it you, Karen? Yeah. Big fan of that term, big fan of doing it. So part of what we want to, it's pretty tasty. You should try it. Part of what we want to do is become more efficient ourselves internally. So rather than doing the same thing five times in five different silos, we want to do it once, do it right, and then have it consumed by those five different services. So that's kind of where we're headed internally. But then we also realize that there's a number of these things that we should and are able to expose to those of our members and other institutions outside in the library world to use yourselves in your own applications. So what I'm going to be focusing on today are the things we're exposing to you all, but there's also internal ones that we're developing as well to make ourselves more efficient. And then we're also, since we don't know what the heck we're doing, we also want to develop a community of library developers who can tell us what to do. You know, we're really interested in X. Thanks for implementing that, but it sucks, and this is why. Change this, this, and this, and it might work well. That kind of feedback. So we're trying to develop a kind of community to help us develop our strategy. So our mechanism for doing this is a number of things, and it all kind of hinges around this one website. So if you go to worldcat.org/devnet, then that's where we hang a lot of stuff off of. So documentation, we'll get to it eventually. There's some there, but you know, we're always adding to it. Communication, we've got blog, mailing list, stuff like that. So if you're interested, you can sign up on a mailing list and get informed. We will be having it's a version repository for code to be deposited there. Our intent is for developers to have accounts on the site and be able to do things themselves. We've already established a way for people to get an account and do things on the site. We've protected certain pages, but lots of it is open for anyone. We're going to be putting some pilots out there, as I mentioned, some experimental services, and you can mess around with those. And then, of course, we're going to be sponsoring various events. We've already had some select events, and we're already getting a public event here coming up next month in New York City. If this is successful, we're going to take it in other places. And we're calling it a hackathon because the ideas come together and hack stuff up. You're not limited to using OCLC services by any means. That's partly why, you know, I wanted to have a list so we kind of could go and check out all the things we could do. So that's 2 days of are there any administrators in the room? We're going to be doing lots of really important work in between the drunken debauchery. But if you come, you get one of those impenetrable T-shirts as well. So if you're interested, go to worldcat.org/devnet and register. So just take a quick gander at the site itself. We'll increase this a little bit. Oh, what's someone said something about me, huh? Okay, well, you Valley Lushes. Okay. Some things that you can get to here are the blog. You can just click over and see the blog. You can register for the mailing list. You just scroll down to the very bottom where we belong, and there we are, and you can sign up. And the real heart of it, though, is down at the bottom, the OCLC Grid Services, and that takes you to the services themselves. what crappy documentation we have for them. All of that is going to be there. So just a quick look. Oh, and I also wanted to show you briefly that we have more information on the hackathon there, so you can go take a look at that and see if it's something you really want to do. Okay, I mentioned, I want to go through some of the services. I mentioned XISBN. I'm not going to go into much detail here, but briefly what this is a very simple service where if you have a book ISBN, you can throw it to us, and we will send you back, from what we know about that ISBN, all of the related works in a Ferber sense to that ISBN. So one of the benefits of this that people have been using it for example, is when someone discovers a book and they might have an ISBN from Amazon or something, and they're searching that in your catalog, well, it'd be nice to know if maybe you've got a different printing or a different edition of that work rather than the exact one they're searching for. So that way, we can give you all the related ISBNs. You can search all of those ISBNs in your catalog and bring back any edition of that work on behalf of the user. This is particularly useful in an ILL context because you don't want to be requesting books that you have in your collection that are just simply different printings or different editions or that kind of thing. So that's out there now. Oh, and by the way, how many of you are from libraries that use OCLC for cataloging? Raise your hands. Okay, all of you, raise your hands, can get everything I'm going to talk about for free right now today. Okay, so you can come get your little, you know, developer key if you want and go hack at this at your heart's content. All those you didn't raise your hands, well, you're losers. Well, no, that's unfair. But if you want access to this stuff, well, join OCLC or I like single malt scotch, okay? Just putting that out there. Do with it what you will. I'm not seeking bribes. Just a little information for you. Another XID service is the XISSN service. And this actually is something slightly different. So we have an API to XISSN, and this does, as you might imagine, the same or similar thing to XISBN in that if you have a serial XISSN, you send it to us. We send you back all of the related XISSNs. And do we have any serials catalogers in the room? Wow, we killed them all? Yeah, I hear you. Because these things are gnarly beyond belief. So we put up this visualization tool so that the rest of us who are not serials catalogers can commiserate and understand their pain because it's really insane. So let's take a look. Oops, I didn't want to do that. I'm in the wrong spot here. I want to go here and go live. And let's take a look at one of these. And oops, let's see here. This gives you a sense of how gnarly serials are. This visualization tool will take a serial, and it will give you the history of its publication. So here we've got the Journal of the Chemical Society Transactions, which became the Journal of the Chemical Society, which then split off into God knows how many pieces, and then split off again into God knows how many pieces, and so on and so forth until we get down to where it exists today. So I'm just going to bring this down again so you can see just how complicated serial's history can be. And I think this visualization tool can be incredibly useful for a serial's cataloger, or even just regular people, to see, you know, the history of a journal, what it's gone through, and so forth. And this would have been a godsend. Maybe it could have prevented some of those horrifying suicides you've been having in the profession lately. So that's just a cool little tool there. So the WorldCat Registry has been out there for a little while. The idea here is that a lot of what we do hinges on key bits of information about our institutions. And this is illustrated no better than in trying to get the user from an item they want to that item, particularly if you don't own it. Like if you need to know what library has it and you know what their ILL policies are and so on and so forth. This kind of information is being deposited in this registry. This is for all institutions we can get our hands on. It's not just members. It's like all libraries we can get information for. So, and let's go ahead and take a look at that. Okay, let's see what McMaster looks like. We'll just search them. Here's a record for McMaster. And let me boost this a little bit here. So basic information about them, name, address, information page, there's their hours. But it starts getting more interesting when you get to like the online catalog or the open URL resolvers, because this is where the rubber really hits the road. So here's, for example, the URL, online catalog direct ISBN. So in other words, if we have an ISBN and we want to shunt the user through directly into the screen for that book for McMaster University, we know how to do that. And we can drop the user right on the page for that book. And we can see that happening shortly. So in other words, deep linking, how to construct the deep links into those systems. The open URL resolver base address, so we can get, again, the user directly to the copy of the journal that they have access to. So as you can imagine, we're starting to see building blocks here that can increasingly be put together to do some interesting things. This registry is available through an API, so you can query it and you get a certain amount of information back. If you're authenticated, you can get back things like IP ranges, things like that. If you're unauthenticated, you can get back basic information. A lot of it's very useful, and you can take a look at that and see if there's anything there that floats your boat. Terminology services is one of those experimental services. We're trying to figure out what makes sense in this area. These are for control vocabularies of various kinds. So you want to be able to expose these control vocabularies in a way that they can be used by software. So you can search descriptions, you can search concepts and headings, you can go broader, narrower within the vocabulary, you can retrieve a single concept, you can do lots of different things with it, getting it back in various formats for parsing and so forth. The vocabularies we have up now are these, so they include things like the Library of Congress subject headings, the medical subject headings, MASH, this thesaurus for graphic materials, 1 and 2, our own internal faceted control vocabulary called FAST. These are all currently available to machine services. And what I want to do is I want to show you how a particular library, in this case Indiana University, is using this service. So we'll go out to their website here and do a search. And I'm just going to search on fruit because I think this shows the control vocabulary quite well. So what we have over here on the left, you'll notice that search suggestions sidebar here. So this comes from our terminology services. So they took the user's search fruit, sent it to us. We sent back, okay, for fruit, a broader term is food. Or there's narrower terms here that you can also click on and search as well. Okay, so suggestions for the users for broader or narrower terms that they may want to use in their search. And this comes from that terminology services web service. Okay, I want to now turn to our kind of flagship application within Grid Services, which is the WorldCat Search API. But before I get into the guts of this, I want to just make sure we're all on the same page here, and that is the WorldCat database is of, you know, the records of thousands of libraries, which now has topped 110 million records from around the world and 1.3 billion holdings. So we basically know where 1.3 billion items within libraries are within your collections. So a massive database, and that's now available through this search API. So again, used by applications, not people. We support presently two methods of searching We support OpenSearch and SRU. And we send responses back in one of these formats presently. We're also looking at other things. I believe it was Karen Coombs who asked for JSON, and we're taking a look at that, seeing if we can do that. And in fact, this is another illustration of this whole idea of grid services, because what we're going to be doing is hooking up the WorkHat search API to our metadata crosswalk service, so that basically we can just pump the records out in any format supported by the crosswalk. And that will support that, and we'll just be able to give you pretty much any flavor that you want back from that service. So, but presently RSS, Atom, a couple really simple XML formats, Mark 21 XML and Dublin Core. It's RESTful, that is, you pack everything in the URL itself to do the query, and it's somewhat hackable, so you can kind of figure out how to change it just based on the URL. So to take that, there's a broad range of indexes. You can limit searches by holding library. There's actually two levels of service. There's default, which is everything a user would get at WorldCat.org. And then there's authenticated, meaning you know that the person who's using your service is one of your library users. And in that case, you get everything. You get everything that WorldCat has, not just WorldCat.org. So let's see. Yeah, mention that. You can sort by relevance, author, title, date, library count, lots more. You can list libraries that hold the title, sort libraries geographically. And one of the coolest things is you can get back standard citations. So if you want APA, Chicago, Harvard, MLA, or Turabian, we can send you back the formatted citation that you can just drop on the screen for your users. So as you can imagine, you can just add this service now to your library catalog potentially by sending, you know, search results to us, and we'll send you back this formatted citation for them. Probably if you're interested in more detail, of course, you go to the DevNet site. There's a page which gives you an overview as well as linkages into more detail. That's where you can get the information there. One of our developers, Bruce Washburn, in the San Mateo office did this really cool little thing called the URI Evaluator. And what you do is you just go there and you fill out this form. So you pick, okay, I want to do open search. I want results back in Atom. Plug in your search terms. In this case, we're just using Civil War. Pick your sort here. I just choose relevance. Starting position, maximum number of records. I'm just going to leave that blank. It will take the default. And the service levels default rather than full because I haven't necessarily authenticated to know. And then you hit build the request. It then shows you the request here. This is what the URL should look like that you send to the service. And if you click that, you will then execute the search and get the results back. Now, this is in Safari, which thinks it's getting back an RSS feed. So it goes and applies its own style sheets and so forth to that feed. But we can also do this in the raw as well. And I think I've got, yes, the query here. And what happened to my window? Here it is. And we'll pipe this to less. Here's the raw XML. So then you can parse that to your heart's content, display it however you want, and so forth. So that URI evaluator, I think, can be a really easy way to get up to speed quickly on how to interact with the search API. Just to break the URL apart a little bit, starts with the protocol, obviously, the host name, type of service or resource, the database to be searched, in this case is WorldCat, the search protocol that we chose was OpenSearch, and then the search terms, just, you know, Q for query equals search terms properly escaped. You select the format of the response, in this case RSS, And we can also, if you know, understand the defaults, you can also even leave out a bunch of stuff and it will just assume on your behalf. So in this case, we could leave out things like the search protocol and the format, and it would just assume for us we wanted OpenSearch and RSS coming back. The OpenSearch response, just to pull out a few things there, you get the total number of results. There's a title of the record, of one record. You can get back, of course, in this case, the MLA formatted citation, a link to the record in WorldCat, an SRU response, you get the number of records, and of course, a bunch of other stuff too. I'm just highlighting a few things here. Some ISBNs out of the search results, library locations, so the OCLC symbol here, and then probably more importantly, the library catalog URL. So in this case, it looks like it's going to the City of Orange library, but again, you can specify, you know, which library you want. We will then send you back the deep link into that catalog for that item so that you can link directly from your search results into your catalog to know whether it's on the shelf or not. And it's getting this information from the registry. So that means if you're up to date in the registry, then these links are properly populated for you. Just some ways in which people could possibly use this service. Here's an example that Bruce Washburn put together. Say you've got a page on your website that is a guide to resources on a particular topic. So in this case, maybe the Civil War. Well, he built this little JavaScript widget that you see over here in the, over here in the right window here, which does a JavaScript query into the WorldCat search API, sends in the search Civil War, gets back ranked search results based on relevance, and then you don't see the animation here, but it just, you know, fades out and fades in with the top 10 search results from the WorldCat search. So you get some of the most relevant books on that topic just kind of fading in and out that people that can then, if they want, click on and then go to the record for that book. That's one possible example. He did this other example here where you could put in, let me see if I can blow this up a little bit, put in a search, and then, in this case, Civil War, and then give a zip code. And what you'll get back is the local libraries. So in this case, this is around San Mateo, so San Mateo Public Library and so forth. And then, you know, get back a formatted citation for each item, as well as, in this case, also a description as well. So that's another thing you could do. We've been doing a number of things with it ourselves. We've created a couple Facebook applications. So there's a Facebook search application, and there's a Facebook Cite Me application. So as you can imagine, the search application does a WorldCat search. The Cite Me application will, if you do a search, it will bring back format citations. And if you look along the tabs there, you can see that you can choose different styles. So Chicago, Harvard, MLA, APA, Turabian, and they'll just reformat all those citations. The student can just copy that puppy, paste it in their paper, and get the heck out of there. So that's kind of an interesting service as well. We recently released the iPhone app. So again, searching the WorldCat database from the iPhone. So this is what that looks like, a little few screens from that. That's out there now, and people are beginning to use it. And again, this is a way to bring users through us to you, okay? Because we're trying to get people from, you know, finding a book to realizing it's in their local library. And they do that by, you know, putting their zip code or that kind of thing. David Walker from Cal State University did a demonstration of Code for Live last year. Earlier this year, in which he was working on kind of a system here he called Mango. And just a few screenshots from that, where he's kind of mashing up the data, not just from WorldCat, but also other sources, like getting cover art from, I think maybe he was getting that from Amazon, also getting the information right out of his local catalog. So mashing up several different data streams into this one display. He also out on the Bigwig site or yourbigwig.com site has some demonstrations here that might be interesting that he did for ALA, the Bigwig event at ALA. Karen Coombs has been doing a lot of interesting work with the API and has done a WordPress plugin that uses it, as well as other data sources. So again, mashing up multiple data sources in order to do interesting things, getting covers from Amazon and data from other sources. So I think really the sky's the limit in terms of the kinds of things you can do by pulling in data from lots of different sources, mashing it up in interesting ways on behalf of your users. So now we get to the point where I need to actually sacrifice the virgin, because now we're going to go out on a limb. I'm going to show you just how easy it can be to do this. And I think I'll minimize this. Hopefully I'm still online here. Am I not? Lovely. Let me see if I can quickly connect. Oops, hit caps lock. Unix hates caps. Okay, so what's happening is I'm now connected to my server out there on the net. Bruce Washburn has done this little demonstration application, which we will now go take a look at. It's just not much to it, but what he's done is he's set up a search for Yahoo. So let's do Hamilton, Ontario, industrialization. Can't quite type. Okay, so this just went out to Yahoo's API, did a search there, brought back results, formatted for our screen, and we see that it got Wikipedia, travel guide, stuff like that. What we're now going to do is we're going to now add in a simultaneous search of the WorldCat search API in a right-hand sidebar. Okay. Now, I want to tell you, this is kind of somewhat prepackaged, but all of the code, all of it from the cascading style sheet to the code that parses the WorldCat search result is roughly between 100 and 200 lines of code, and that includes blank lines. So this is not a lot of code, folks. So let's take a look. We're going to edit the index here, and I've got a file of the ads. So, for example here, okay, first thing we need to do is there's a little module called WorldCat.php, which is about 40 lines of code, and we're going to drop that in here to include that module. We've got the application, we've got the application variables, which we'll then drop in after Yahoo. Oops, this screen is dead, so okay. If we drop in here, then we've got the big chunk here, which does the right-hand sidebar, which we want to drop in within a div. This one right here, which is presently empty. And then we've got some code to put in on the footer, which we'll just copy here. Should go right in here. We will save the changes, we'll reload, and we will pray. Voila. Thank you. So to take this through, So now we've got books there on the right-hand side that come from WorldCat, right? One of these looks kind of interesting, Craft Capitalism, Craft Workers, and Early Industrialization in Hamilton, Ontario, 1840-1872. Okay. We click the Find in a Library link. We go out to WorldCat. Here it is. It happens to know my postal code because I've been there before, and you entered once, and it remembers it. And it's at McMaster University. I want to see if it's on the shelf at McMaster. I click the link, and voila, it in fact is checked in. Bingo. I'm off to McMaster to get my book. Now, sure, there is maybe a step in there that we could have cut out. Eventually, it might be nice to just shunt the users straight through. You know, if we really know they're from McMaster, we can take them right down to, you know, find out if it's on the shelf. But that's pretty darn easy. Click, click, and you're there. And it's pretty darn easy to embed this stuff in your local applications. So I think we're increasingly getting to a world where, you know, the data that you've given us that we put into WorldCat, we can now spit back at you in some very interesting ways that you can then embed in your services in some very interesting ways that your ILS vendor may not be allowing you to do, okay? So there's some very interesting possibilities out there now, and we're happy to enable them. Big D. So individually and collectively, we can use these growing sets of services, not just ours, but yours and others, to become more efficient and effective. We can start embedding library services in other platforms like Facebook, WordPress, iPhone, what have you, your local content management system. We can mash them up with data from other services, Yahoo, Library Thing, whatever, BiblioCommons, and do some very interesting things out there on the web. So I think it's a very exciting time to be a librarian, and in particular, a very exciting time to be in technology librarianship. So a lot of you, I think, know that it's a very exciting time, and it's a great time to be at a conference like Access talking about these things. So thank you very much, and I've got like 3 minutes. Yeah.
So from the VEX project, we would like to thank OCLC for using many of your services. WorldCat Registry, and I would like to second what you said, that libraries should